Amen. All right, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look down at verse number 5. It says here, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And the title of the sermon this morning is, Except Ye Be Reprobates. Except Ye Be Reprobates. Now, here in 2 Corinthians 13, I think it's very clear what it's stating here. And what is it telling us? It's telling Paul the Apostle is explaining to the church at Corinth, hey, you need to examine yourself to see if you are in the faith because Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. What does that mean? It goes to tell us that someone who is a reprobate cannot have Christ in them. Amen. They cannot be saved. They cannot have eternal life because the Bible is clearly teaching us here that someone who does not have Christ in them is a reprobate. Now, what is he specifically telling the church at Corinth here? Well, this doesn't just apply to any person. Because this afternoon, we're going to go and preach the gospel to a bunch of people who don't have Christ in them, and they still could be saved. Right. Amen. The reason he's stating this to the church of Corinth is because the church of Corinth has gotten Bible preaching. Yep. This is the second letter that they've received. Right. Chapters and chapters of deep doctrine. Chapters and chapters in regards to salvation, in regards to church discipline, in regards to all manner of subjects, and they're still rejecting it. Yep. So you know what that tells me? They're reprobate. Because someone who is a reprobate, the Bible tells us, is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is that? Because the Bible says that now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, the Bible says. So someone who is a reprobate, someone who has resisted the truth, they're going against the truth. And therefore, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay. Now, go with me if you would to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Now, keep in mind that in 2 Corinthians 13, this is the Apostle Paul speaking here. And you know what the Apostle Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians 13? He's judging them. He's claiming, hey, if Christ ain't in you, I don't care if you're a member of the Church of Corinth, Corinth Baptist Church, you're not saved. Oh, how dare you, Paul, say that to them. What right do you have? Well, because he understands the biblical doctrine of reprobation and how if someone is constantly getting the truth, is constantly hearing about salvation, constantly hearing about salvation by grace through faith, constantly hearing about it's only by believe only, and they're not saved after that, you're a reprobate. Amen. Okay? Look at Matthew 7. Now, Matthew 7, verse 1 is the most out of scripture taken out of context. Judge not that ye be not judged. That's it right there. Most people, that's the only verse they memorize right there. And even then, they don't even quote it correctly. Judge not lest ye be judged is what they say. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So we need to keep reading. Because people want to use this to say, how dare you say that this person's not saved? How dare you judge this person and say that they don't have Christ in them? How dare you're so arrogant and prideful to say that. But let me just show you something in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. But skip down to verse 15. Beware of false prophets. Oh, you're judging. Hey, you're not taking your own advice there, Matthew. You're not taking your own advice here, Jesus. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Amen. Ye shall know them by their fruits. What does that mean? You will judge them. Amen. You will judge them. Amen. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Now keep in mind that thorns and thistles in the Bible works in tandem with something that has been rejected. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let me translate that for you. Ye shall judge them. Amen. Oh, but you can't just do that to anybody. Yeah, I agree that you just can't do that to anybody out in the streets who you're knocking on the doors. But someone who is teaching the Bible on a week in, week out basis. This is someone who is studying the Word of God on a week in, week out basis. And guess what? They're denying the Trinity.
Come on.
They're denying that salvation is by grace through faith.
Come on.
Guess what? They're a false prophet.
Amen.
That's right.
I can't believe you're judging them. Oh, I'm just doing what Matthew 7 tells me to do.
Amen.
Ye shall know them by their fruits. Who's that referring to? The false prophets.
Good.
And look, this is an area where our church stands.
Amen.
And I'm not saying you can just call anybody a reprobate.
Right.
Look, and don't even mess around with that.
Amen.
Don't joke around and call someone who is saved a reprobate. You're basically calling them a faggot.
Yep.
Some sodomite faggot is what you're referring to your brother in Christ when you call him a reprobate. That title is only designated for people who are ever learning and never able to come to the people who hate God. And let me just make it clear. The most wicked people in this world are the people who stand behind the pulpit and are reprobates.
Yeah, amen.
Now, go to Matthew 18. Why preach on this? Well, I'm going to get back to that point in just a bit regarding judging. But I'm going to switch gears momentarily right now, okay? So just keep in mind what we just read in 2 Corinthians 13 and Matthew chapter 7. Keep that in mind and just understand this is where our church stands.
Good.
Matthew 18 is a famous chapter in the book of Matthew dealing extensively with this matter of excommunicating people out of the church.
Right.
Look down at verse number 15. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he would not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and as a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So what is this talking about? Well, if a brother trespasses against me, for example, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to go to that person, rebuke them, correct them, and if they refuse to get it right, you get another witness, and if they refuse to hear that witness, then you bring it before the church.
Amen.
You say, well, at that point, what happens? You excommunicate them out of the church. You kick them out of the church because they're unrepentant and unwilling to get it right.
Right.
You say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, this morning, Eric Ballesteros from our church, Eric Dr. Ballesteros from our church is being thrown out today for being unwilling to repent of heresy and railing. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now look, I know we got visitors here today. I know these three gentlemen are visiting, but you know what? We need to take care of business today. And guess what? You know what today is? Today is today's trash day.
Amen.
And today we're taking out the trash.
Amen.
And look, not every sermon on Sunday is like this, all right, guys? So come to now, I'll probably preach on the love of God or something, all right? But look, it's time to take out the trash. And if that offends you, you need to get some thick skin. Get into the Bible and recognize that the Bible tells us that some people who are even believers are good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You know what we call trash? Well, you know, it's something that's good for nothing. You know, what do you do with trash? You cast it out because it's good for nothing. It doesn't work anymore. And the Bible says of believers, that sometimes they're trash. I can't believe you just said, I'm just quoting what the Bible's telling you.
Amen.
That they're good for nothing. What is that in the Greek? Good for nothing.
Amen.
Look what verse 11 says. "But I have written unto you," 1 Corinthians 5, not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are, them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is instructing us that if someone is involved in these particular sins found in verse number 11, and they are unwilling to repent from these sins, they're to be thrown out.
Amen.
That we're supposed to put away from ourselves that wicked person. You can't call that person wicked. The Bible says that they're involved in these sins, they're not willing to repent, they're wicked.
Amen.
And look, let me just make it very clear. We are not on this trigger-happy role where we just want to throw people out of the church. I'd rather someone repent, get right, get it straightened out, and come back to the fold.
Amen.
Go to Romans chapter 16. I'm going to read to you from Titus chapter 3. The Bible says here in Titus 3 verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. Knowing that he that is such a subverted in sin is being condemned of himself. What does that mean? Well, if someone is wrong on something, and you go to that person and you say, hey, you're wrong, this is what the Bible says, and they say, no. Then you go to them again and say, okay, let me show you another scripture, and they say, no. You know what the Bible tells us? That person needs to be rejected.
That's right.
Amen.
Oh, they just have a different interpretation of salvation. No, there is no different interpretation of salvation.
Amen.
Yeah, you may have a different interpretation of obscure doctrines in the Bible, obscure dark sayings in the scriptures, but when it comes to this matter of salvation, when it comes to this matter of the Trinity, when it comes to the matter of things that are just completely clear in the Bible, you know, there is no various interpretations of that.
Amen.
Look at Romans 16, verse 17 says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, you say, well, what did Eric do? You know, Eric Ballesteros, what did he do? Well, Eric Ballesteros put out a video on his channel entitled False Doctrine Infiltrating the New IFB, Biblical Doctrine Discernment Salvation. That's a mouthful. You know, someone needs to teach him to, like, condense that a little bit. And on this video, he rails on yours truly, on Pastor Anderson, and the pastors within the New IFB for calling false teachers and false prophets reprobates. You say, well, like who? Oh, you know, like Tyler Baker? Like the oneness crowd? He's railing on us. He's railing on us and lying about us, saying that we believe in a works-based salvation. Because when we look at a heretic like Tyler Baker and Dominique Davis, we say, that person's not saved. And you know what he says? Well, that's like the Calvinists who believe in lordship salvation. So he's claiming that damnable heresy, he's comparing damnable heresy to works. And this guy is being thrown out today.
Amen.
Now look, I went to Eric. In fact, look, he put out this video. And let me just listen to family time right now.
Right.
If you got a problem with yours truly, you come talk to me.
Amen.
You come talk to me if you got a problem with the doctrine in our church. And look, and if you just don't agree, then just go somewhere else.
Amen.
But you know what this fool does? He puts out a video first. Then he comes to church and he said, did you watch the video?
Wow.
Now, I'll be honest with you. The video is an hour and 16 minutes long.
Yep.
And it's very poor quality video.
Yep.
So when he first put it out and he told me about that, you know, or he told me about the video, I watched a couple minutes of it and I figured maybe he's referring to Adam Fannin. So I didn't watch it and I went to him, and then he came to church. And when he asked me that, I said, yeah, I watched a couple minutes of it. I didn't see the whole thing. I say, I disagree with you on it. I believe Adam Fannin is not saved.
Yeah.
And I explained to him why. Well, then I talked to someone else, and this person told me, no, you need to watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
He says, it's bad. I'm like, man, an hour and 16 minutes. Thank God for the 1.25 speed.
Amen.
Amen. I put it on 1.25 speed, pen and pad in hand.
Amen.
And I just wrote down every single point that he stated. All heresy.
That's right.
Yep.
So when I've been trying to get a hold of him for the last couple of days. He's been avoiding me. And finally, I called him yesterday, and he answered. And I laid into him. I said, I don't agree with your video, and you're railing on me. I told him, you put out a video, and I explained everything that he said. And he told me this. He says, well, I wasn't talking about you. I said, and I gave him some points. They were clearly from me. And he said, well, no, you know, I'm sorry if you took it that way, but I wasn't talking about you. Then later on in the conversation, because I talked to him for an hour and a half. By the way, talk about first and second admonition. I gave him way more than that. Amen. I gave him an hour and a half of admonitions. He said, did he accept anything? He rejected everything I said. And I told him the points, and he said, well, I wasn't talking. Later on in the conversation, he said, well, if the shoe fits. I said, yeah, the shoe fits. It's a size 9.5. It's going to kick your butt out tomorrow. So he claims that the video was not about me. He's like, no, it's not about you. Well, that's funny because at the end of the video, you know what he tells me at the end of the conversation, excuse me, he says this. Well, look, Brother Mejia, let me just say this. He says, you've said from the pulpit that if we believe differently than you, then just keep our mouths shut. That's what you said, he said. So therefore, I didn't want to come to you, so instead I just made a video. Oh, so you did make the video about me. Fool. He said, I didn't want to come to you, so instead I made a video. Oh, so noble.
Yeah, right?
The nobility is just spewing out of your ears. So instead of coming to talk to me, you make a video for 400 people to watch.
Yeah.
Then you come to church and you say, did you watch the video? I've never met a more noble person than you. That's called being a coward.
Yeah.
Look, not just in church. In the streets, out there in the world, you confront people to the face.
Amen.
You don't talk about them behind their back. So he just completely lied. I'm like, okay, so you did make the video about me. Well, yeah, because you said that we need to keep our mouths shut. You know what? Only people who are wicked, who have something to hide, thinks they can't come to me.
Right.
Because I've talked to people in our church who are extremely sensitive. And every once in a while, they get offended at my preaching. And even those people, they always come talk to me.
Amen.
They're not afraid to come talk to me. To ask me hard questions. And at the end of the conversation, they always tell me, I know you're always going to tell me the truth.
Amen.
You know why? Because these people are righteous people.
Right.
Not bad to be sensitive. As long as you're a saved, righteous person, you have nothing to hide, why are you afraid?
Amen.
But the wicked flee when no man pursueth.
Amen.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth. So before you back, maybe we look at all the evidence. I'm going to show you the evidence today.
Come on.
Okay. To show you that this fool is worthy to be kicked out. And let me just be clear. I do not believe that Eric Ballesteros is saved at all.
Amen.
Oh, I can't believe he just said that. Yeah. Because anybody who says that you can stop believing is not saved.
Right.
Amen.
You can't stop believing.
Right.
He says in his video that the Apostle Paul didn't even know if he can stop believing. What? And he's like, I don't know, maybe me too. Yeah, because you're not saved. Anybody who's saved will never stop believing.
Amen.
Never. And I will get into that in just a little bit. So at the end of his video, towards the end, he says, anybody who believes this doctrine is arrogant, you're prideful. And then he says, I just annihilated this doctrine. I'm like, when? I'm like rewinding back. I was like, did he make a good point? What did he say? Like, where? He goes, I just completely destroyed it. And he goes, and I challenge anybody to try to refute what I just said. Well, challenge accepted, Eric.
Amen.
You know, but the difference is I'm not trying to convince you because you're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, apparently.
Amen.
I just want to warn my church about this stupid doctrine. Okay?
Amen.
Now, go to 2 John. By the way, when I talked to him, he's like, oh man, you're being so difficult, Brother Mejia. I just can't take this. Well, you know what? Go to another Baptist church where you can take it then.
That's
right.
You know, no one's forcing you to stay. Okay? And look, just to show you this man's heart, he tells me this at the end of the conversation. He said this, Well, when I put out the video, I already knew I was going to get thrown out. So he knew. He knew that what he was teaching is completely contrary to what we believe at this church. He knew that I was going to get on him. He already knew that he said, I already knew I was going to get thrown out. So before you start sympathizing with him, before you start, we just need to hear him out. I heard him out for an hour and a half and it's all heresy.
Yeah, right. That's right.
Now look, and don't come at me with this, well, we could just reach more people if you're just nicer, Brother Mejia. If you're just a little nicer, we can reach more people. Let me explain something to you about that, okay? Let's say after this sermon, you know, when we go soul winning, this is a really hard sermon right here.
Yep. Amen.
All right? And it might offend some people in our church.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. How will that affect my gospel presentation in the afternoon? Will this sermon affect me talking to the unsaved people out there?
Nope.
At all? Will it affect your gospel presentation when you go out there? So how will me being nicer in this sermon impede anybody getting saved out there when we go out soul winning? Well, you know, on the internet. But here's the thing. The internet is not our main means of seeing people saved.
Amen. Amen.
Our feet take us to go to knock on people's doors, and we do something called door-to-door soul winning. That does not impede us at all. And look, if it impedes someone in our church from ever coming back, you know, I got to go with God.
Amen.
I got to obey the Lord. Yeah, but what if like your church doesn't fill up? My goal here is not to fill up the church.
Amen.
My goal here is not to burst out the seams. My goal is to preach the Bible, to honor and glorify God, because I want God's favor in our church.
Amen.
That's my goal. If I wanted to build the church and have it burst out the seams, I'd be flattering you all day. But this is not a sermon on flattery, as you can tell.
Amen.
So look, if you get offended, listen to the whole sermon first.
Yeah. Right.
Don't reject the truth. Don't resist it. And look, I don't think anybody in here is going to be like that. Or we're just like, I don't agree with it. Well, if after I quote you all these scriptures, you just completely don't agree, then there's a problem. There's a 2 Corinthians 13 problem.
Yep.
Look at 2 John 9. So, Eric, in this video, claims that as a saved person, you can get into damnable heresy. Yeah, you heard right. He claims that as a saved person, you can get into damnable heresy. Now, what damnable heresy are we specifically referring to? And in the context of our conversation, we're talking about oneness. The false doctrine of oneness or modalism, which, by the way, he claims that modalism and oneness are two different things. And look, when Jeff Utzler put out his response video to Tyler Baker when he's in the snow, you know, I looked at that thumbnail and I was like, amen. But then I felt like something was telling me, go check the comment section. Click on it, check the comment section. Who do we see? Dr. B, KJV. Protecting and defending Tyler Baker.
Wow.
By the way, if someone in here even believes that Tyler Baker's saved, or even if you're thinking like the guy, why in the world, knowing where we stand as a church, why in the world would you befriend the enemies of our church? Why would you even want to go on a public forum? Oh, I know why, because you know you're going to get kicked out. That's why. So he says this, that oneness people, yeah, they're still saved. And he uses this stupid analogy using King Solomon in the Old Testament and how he got away from God and was burning incense because his wives drove away his heart. He uses him as an example. Saying that's like, and in fact, he said this, that's worse than oneness. So he claims that Solomon was in worse than oneness false doctrine. Here's the difference. Solomon was not going to the God of Ashtaroth and saying that that is the God of the Bible.
Right.
Tyler Baker is going and saying that that Jesus Christ is not the eternal Son of God, that he was begotten in Bethlehem's manger, and that he's the Father, and he said that that's the God of the Bible. That's false.
Right.
He's rejecting the eternal sonship of Christ and claiming that that is the God of the Bible. That's heresy. In fact, that's damnable heresy. That's not the same as Solomon. Don't compare the two and say, well, you know, I can see that. No, it's not the same. And look, I know people have gotten mixed up a little bit on the Trinity, but here's the difference. When someone gets a little mixed up and someone comes to them and say, look, this is what the Bible actually says, and they say, okay, I was wrong, I'm switching, they fixed it. Oh, we should just do that to Dominique Day. We have.
Yeah.
We should do that to Tyler Baker. We have.
Yeah.
And they just completely resist and resist and resist and resist and resist and reject and reject and reject. You know what that means? They're reprobates.
Amen.
Get it through your head.
Amen.
They're not going to be saved.
Amen.
They hate the God of the Bible.
Right.
They're perverting who Christ is. And he claims, he wants to take this position in his videos. Look, I believe in the fundamental doctrine of eternal security. So for you to say that these people are not saved, you're saying that they, you know, that basically they lost their salvation. No, I'm not saying that. Because the fundamental doctrine of eternal security teaches us that when you believe in the right Jesus,
amen,
you're saved and you can never lose your salvation.
Right.
What you're saying is that they can believe in any kind of Jesus. As long as they believe, they're good to go. Well, you know, shut my mouth. I guess the Mormons are saved too then, huh? Well, shut my Guatemalan mouth. I guess the Jehovah's Witnesses are saved too. Because it's a different Jesus. Don't give me the fundamental doctrine. If you so believe in this fundamental doctrine of eternal security, why do you say it's possible for you to stop believing? Hello? Anybody home?
Come on.
I stand on the fundamental doctrine of eternal security, but you could still stop believing at some point. What? What are you, like a Pentecostal? By the way, how many of you have heard Pentecostals say that? I have. I've talked to Pentecostals at the door, and they'll tell me, I'm saved because I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I say, well, great. Can you do anything to lose your salvation? Absolutely not. Nothing, huh? No. Okay, so what if like later on down the road, I get involved in sin and I die? Oh yeah, you lost it. What in the world? Didn't you just tell me you can't lose your salvation? It's like this. I believe in the eternal security of salvation, but you can stop believing at some point. And let me just explain to you why this is so stupid, okay? Because he's claiming, please understand this, that in order to stay saved, you have to perpetually keep believing. You understand that? So on your part, you have to keep believing. But it's funny in his video when he talks about, he says that the Apostle Paul, hey, the Apostle Paul said that he could become a castaway. That means he stopped believing. Oh, really? You know, why don't you quote the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 when he says that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God? Why don't you quote the clear scriptures of the Bible? Instead, you just pervert scriptures. Now, he used this verse right here that we're about to read. And it's almost as if he read it and he understood, oh man, this is actually teaching contrary to what I believe. And in the video, he doesn't even expound upon it.
Yep.
He's like, I'm not going to even get into this. Yeah, because it's proving you're wrong.
Right.
Look at verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. He reasons and says, I'm just not going to get into that. I already said enough. Yeah, because God just shut your mouth. That's why.
Amen.
It's like the time that I went sowing with Paul, and we're by this trailer park. Do you remember this? This guy comes up, and he was kind of jittery, you know. This is Los Angeles. And he was like on one a little bit. And we tried witnessing to him, and he was just staunch on losing your salvation. He's like, it's not by belief only. You can lose it, blah, blah, blah. And I said, can you show me that from the Bible? He goes, takes my Bible. I'm not kidding you, right? And he's just like, and he goes, God, just please show me. This is your word. He said, show me real quick. And he opens it and he reads. He goes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I said, yeah, that's it. You got it. Oh, was that with you? Oh, I thought it was with Paul. You'll get credit, don't worry. I'll give honor where honor's due, right? He reads John 3:16 to disprove that it's not by believe only. And I said, yeah, you got it, man. Hey, you prayed? You open up the Bible and you read that verse, bada, bada boom, bada bang, there it is. Well, that's the same thing that this guy did. He went to the scripture to disprove, and then he read it and just didn't expound upon it at all. Go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is what he brings up in his video, but he also brings it up in our conversation. Because remember, he believes that you can stop believing. And if he really believes that, which he claims that he does, he says, I'm not going back on it, then he's not saved.
Yep.
Amen.
Does anybody, do we have a problem with that? Does anybody have a problem with that, with me stating that? That if someone says that they could stop believing, that they're not saved? Does anybody have a problem with that? Raise your hand if you have a problem with that. Yeah. It's pretty clear.
Amen.
Right? He says there, look at verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. You see, that's the Apostle Paul, Brother Mejia. He says, if we believe not. Let me explain something to you. He says, if we believe not. He doesn't say, when you believe not.
Right.
Yep.
You guys understand that? And when I told him that over the phone, he's just quiet. And I said, let me give you an example of what this means. In Matthew 24, verse 24, it says this, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, you know what we know about that? Is that the elect are not going to get deceived.
Amen.
It's just saying, if it were possible.
Right, amen.
So that's exactly what 2 Timothy chapter 3 is saying. If,
yep.
Not when. Because no one ever stops believing. And it's funny that he starts off his video with like 20 different books.
Yeah.
20 different books by different theologians. Doesn't start off with the Bible.
False prophets too.
False prophets. And he goes like this. He says, look, this one is called Alzheimer's disease. Because you could forget. I'm not joking. He said that. He says you can get Alzheimer's and forget that you're saved. What in the world? Look, I know it's funny, but he really believes that. And that was his premise to the entire thing, that you can just forget salvation. One day you're like, whoa, hold on a second. Did I trust Christ as my... I think I did. I forgot. I do so many things last week, you know. I just forgot what I did. I had such a long task list. Maybe I might have done it. That's not the way it works. The Bible says that we have the witness in ourselves.
Amen.
And you can't forget that. You can forget God's blessing. You can forget what you did last week, but you'll never forget the fact that you're saved.
Amen.
Go to 1 Corinthians 9. And keep in mind, he said this in the video. I don't even know. That's what he said. I would tell you to go watch the video, but it'd probably bore you to death. I'm not joking, you know. It has like 400 views on his channel only because he's saying a lot of stupid stuff. But I'm pretty sure it has more dislikes than likes. Okay? Why? Because people who are watching this who are saved have brains in their head and they understand this is stupid. 1 Corinthians 9. This is another verse he used. Verse 24 says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as in certainty, but so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. So he claims that 1 Corinthians 9:27 is in reference to being a castaway, like you basically stop believing. And he's insinuating that the castle is referring to that you losing your salvation. Now, we don't keep under our bodies to stay saved. This is in reference to what verse 24 all the way to 27 is talking about, that we discipline ourselves, we have character in ourselves, we are faithful and consistent so that God can continue to use us. So we're not cast forth as a branch,
right.
Wither and die. In other words, you become useless.
Right.
Now, here's how cunningly wicked this guy is, that he quotes this, and then he goes, by the way, let me read to you what it says in the Spanish Bible. And let me just tell you this. I'm the one who showed him what I'm about to tell you.
Yep.
So he didn't even know about this until I showed him. And he reads it, and it talks about the word for castaway in Spanish is reprobado, which means reprobate. Yep. Now, I'm the one who showed him that.
Yep.
And he says that, he goes, it says reprobado. Why? I don't know. He's like, I'm just saying that that's what it says in the Spanish Bible. What is he trying to do? He's trying to cause you and the viewer to doubt.
Yep.
Say, wow, why does it say reprobate? Let me just do a commercial break and explain to you what that means. Because this is a correct translation.
Amen.
It's correct.
Amen.
Okay? For Spanish, it is correct. Because reprobado simply means rejected.
Yep.
Oh, I thought reprobate means someone who's beyond the hope of salvation. Yeah, if you're reprobate concerning the faith. Because in Acts chapter 4 in the Spanish Bible, in English it states that Christ, who is the chief cornerstone, was disallowed, right? In the Spanish Bible, it says that he was reprobated. Fue reprobado. In other words, he was rejected. So what do we have to do when we read the Spanish Bible? We got to understand the context. Because reprobate simply means rejected. Well, how do we know if it's talking about a false teacher, false prophet, if the Bible tells us that they're reprobate concerning the faith? Because they're rejected concerning the faith. What is faith? The faith to believe. They can no longer believe. So what is he referring to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9? He's stating that he doesn't want to be rejected of God to be used of God. That's what he's stating there. To be cast away, to be rejected is what he's stating. But Eric wants to take this verse and leave doubt, cast doubt in the mind of the reader and the viewer to say, wow, why does it say that? Does that mean that he can become a reprobate? Because he stopped believing? This is heresy.
Amen.
Why don't? And I told him, I said, that's interesting that you wanted to read that in the Spanish Bible after I showed you, but you didn't want to expound. You had an hour and 16 minutes worth of your video, but you didn't take any of that time to explain what 1 Corinthians 9 said, what it really means in the Spanish Bible.
Come on.
You just want to throw that out there, huh? That's wicked.
Amen.
Go to Romans chapter 8. Look, you better get used to this. Throughout the years, people are going to be infiltrating our church all the time.
Yep.
Oh, man, it's just my old IFB church is way better than this. We never cast anybody out. Yeah, because they just let them stay in there.
Yeah.
Sorry to break it to you. They just stay in there. They don't kick anybody out. Yeah, that guy believes you can lose your salvation. He's just a little off on salvation. The only difference between us and them is that we actually kick them out.
Amen.
The pastor gets up, slobbers all over the crowd, rips face and says, hey, we're excommunicating this fool.
Right.
And then we post it on YouTube so that pastors in our movement know about these heretics so they don't go to their church.
Amen.
You better get used to it.
Good.
There's a reason why these instructions are in the Bible to tell us about these things.
Amen.
Look at Romans 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know why the Spirit bears witness? Because we're the children of God. John 1:12 explains that to us. Now let me ask you, have you ever forgotten that you had a dad? Like, how's your dad doing? Oh man, that's crazy you said that. I do have a dad. That's right. I thought I just came into being. That's a stupid, silly thing to think about, right? But that's exactly what he's saying. You see, when the Bible teaches salvation, it teaches it from different facets of the same diamond to help us to understand our position in Christ. It says we have eternal salvation, we have everlasting life, we're children of God, we have received the spirit of adoption, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It hits it from different angles to just solidify the fact that we're saved.
Amen.
So many examples in the Bible to teach us this concept. And the father-son example is a great illustration to use.
Amen.
Because no son ever says that they don't have a dad.
Right.
They may say that out of bitterness because their dad like left them or something. But at the end of the day, you It took a person to make you. It took two people to make you. A dad and a mom. Right? It's not like they're just born and like, oh, I'm a clone. You know, I was made in a lab. No, they understand that they have a mom and a dad. Okay? Look at Ephesians 1 says, we're going to go over some basic scriptures, but sometimes it's the basic that refutes the most stupidest doctrines. Ephesians 1 verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So the Bible tells us here that the Spirit is sealed within us until the day of redemption. And in Romans chapter 8, it says that we're waiting to wit the redemption of our bodies because we're saved. The Bible tells us that because we're saved, we have the Spirit of God, our spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh lusteth against the spirit. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So what does that cause you to do? It causes you to groan within yourself to wait the redemption of your body. Because you want to do right, but you can't always do right. We're sinners. So because you understand that your flesh is unsaved and your spirit is saved, you can't wait for that redemption of your body. I can't wait to be redeemed. Amen. You know, there's things that we struggle with in this on this earth, in this world, and we're going to struggle with for the rest of our lives. But just because we struggle with them doesn't mean like, maybe I didn't believe. Because at that point, you're correlating believing to maintaining good works. Yeah, but, you know, if they get involved in sin. Yeah, but sin is the transgression of the law. So what you're stating is that if you believe you have to keep the law to confirm your salvation, that's on your part. You're putting in effort to keep yourself saved. Whereas the Bible teaches us, not of yourselves. Right. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10, it says here, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. Now, brace yourselves. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Bam! It says if you stop believing, you made God a liar. This is referring to someone who does not believe at all. They reject the Son, therefore they reject God. And the Bible says here that you've made God a liar. So this doctrine of, oh, you know, you could just stop believing at any time, you're basically saying that you're used to just calling God a liar. Yep. This is eternal security packaged very nicely for us in 1 John chapter 5. Telling us, hey, we're always going to believe. Why? Because if you don't, you're calling God a liar. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 10. He said, well, what if you get involved in like some big time sin? And by the way, I'm not talking about heresy like the flat earth. I'm friends with people on social media who are flat earthers, but we don't talk about that stuff. Because they know I think it's a stupid doctrine. And look, if you're a flat earther here, I got a message for you. Just keep your mouth shut. I can't believe it. Just keep your mouth shut. That's so mean. Yeah, it is. Just keep your mouth shut. You know, if you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, that's heresy. Amen. But it's not damnable heresy. But if you believe that on your own, hey, I'm not against you. If you try to recruit people to believe like you, I would say keep your mouth shut. If you love the Christ-rejecting Zionist propaganda, you can do whatever you want. I don't care. You know? But if you try to propagate that in our church, here's my message to you. Keep your mouth shut. So this isn't keep your mouth shut for everything. You know, don't ever come talk to me. Don't try to misconstrue my words. I'm talking about if you believe a doctrine that the church does not adhere to, keep your mouth shut. Amen. In regards to that doctrine. Amen. Not just like, hey, how's it going, Paul? Like, you okay, man? He told me to keep my mouth shut. I can't even talk. You're an idiot. You're a stupid fool.
That's right. Amen.
Look at Hebrews 10, verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So here it's stating that if we draw back, what does that mean? We backslide. We stop believing. God's soul shall have no pleasure in us. But look what he finishes off saying in verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
You know, when we backslide, we'll never go to hell. He's like, we're not of that. We're not Pentecostals here.
Right.
They believe you can lose your salvation. We believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen.
Okay. And look, the reason I say Eric Ballesteros is not saved is because he made a video claiming that you can stop believing. And any person who's always wondering, man, can I stop believing? They're typically not saved.
Right.
Amen. And if you are joining the enemies of our church and claiming that oneness people are saved,
come on,
you lost your marbles.
Amen.
You're one of them.
Right.
And let me just say this. If you don't like me as a leader, you know, you might as well just come out and say it already.
Amen.
And go somewhere else.
Good.
Right.
Because if all goes according to plan, I'm going to end up being the pastor here in August.
Amen. Amen.
Then you're really screwed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell Pastor Anderson. He agrees with me.
Amen.
He's the one who's going to ordain me. So if you don't like me as a pastor, if you don't like my personality, if you think I'm a little too rough, then you know what? There's a lot of other churches you can go to.
Right.
Don't let the door hit you where the Lord splits you.
Amen.
I want, look, I'm not, again, I don't want just people just to leave. But I don't want people to stay if they hate me. If you hate me, take a hike.
Right.
Like someone digging, amen? I'm just kidding. His name is Hike. Boom, boom, shh. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I had to do it. I had to do it. His name is Hike for the visitors. His name is Hike, all right? And they just got married yesterday, so she took a hike. It's a bad joke. It's a bad joke. 2 Peter chapter 2. When I was talking to Eric yesterday, I said, you know, it's funny, you went through all these scriptures, but you never talked about 2 Peter chapter 2, where the Bible actually talks about damnable heresy. Why didn't you mention that, Eric? Well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but answer my question. Why didn't you talk about 2 Peter chapter 2, Eric? Why didn't you talk about the verses that are clearly explaining that we cannot stop, no one can stop believing if they're really saved? Why don't you talk about the verses in the Bible where it talks about damnable heresy and how it correlates that with a false teacher who's not saved?
Amen.
Why don't you talk about that, Eric? Look at 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord God that bought them. So these are people who are teaching false doctrine. And how do we know? Because they've denied the Lord God that bought them. Now, let me just explain something very basic to you when it comes to false prophets. The Bible says in Matthew 7 that they're wolves in sheep's clothing. This does not mean that they literally carry wool, you know, sheep's clothing upon themselves. This means that they look like us and they talk like us. Because he told me, he said, yeah, but he says that he believes. I'm like, Eric, of course he has to say that. How else is he going to infiltrate?
Right.
What do you think he's going to say? Hey, I believe in Lordship salvation. I'm oneness. No, every person who's an infiltrator has to say the right things
right.
to deceive people.
Right.
Yeah, but he said it. He's lying.
Good.
Hello? He's lying. No, but you know, if they say that they believe, you know, look, a characteristic of a false prophet is that they are liars.
Amen.
They have to study us, know what we believe so they can repeat what we say.
Amen.
That's what happened with Garrett Kirschway.
Right.
Yeah, but he, you know, Tyler Baker says he believes. You know, he says he believes. Dominique Davis, I believe he's a brother. He says he believes. You know, Adam Fannin says he believes.
Come on.
Okay. I got something for you. So I said, let me ask you this. Do you believe that Judas was saved? He said, no, I don't. Yeah, he's a false prophet, right? Right. Okay, can you tell me something, you know, that he said in the Bible that was false doctrine? Can you quote me a verse from Judas that just completely condemned him as being a false prophet? Well, no. Yeah, you can't. You know why? Because for three entire years when he was with the disciples, he was probably saying the right thing.
Yep.
Right.
And you would confirm that he was a false prophet is when he turned into the Lord and he was stealing the money.
Right.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't record, the Bible doesn't record him teaching any false doctrine. But everyone knows he's a son of perdition.
Yep.
How do you know? Because he was stealing the money. Because
yep.
He turned into Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you know, Tyler Baker's not stealing the money, but guess what he's doing? He's perverting Christ.
Amen.
And no man by the Spirit of God calleth Christ accursed.
Amen.
No man is going to say that Jesus Christ did not exist. That he was only in one mode. It was only one God. Apart from Jesus Christ, apart that these people did not exist in the Old Testament in eternity past. That's false doctrine. Because think about it. They literally, the Oneness crowd believes that Jesus Christ became the begotten Son in Bethlehem's manger. Get this. Don't let me lose you on this. It's not very difficult to understand. They believe that he became the Son of God when he was born in Bethlehem's manger. Well, you got a problem there because in Daniel, which is in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar said, he looked into the fiery furnace and said, the fourth is like unto the Son of God.
Amen.
Before he was born in Bethlehem's manger.
Amen.
So don't give me this just because they believe a little differently. And by the way, in this conversation, he began to rail on Pastor Roger Jimenez. He began to rail on Manly Perry by name.
Wow.
And he said, keep this between me and you. No, we're not keeping this between me and you because I just said it. I'm about to post it on YouTube, buddy. He begins to rail on them and say that they don't understand the Trinity. And he had the gall to say, yeah, if I went up to Pastor Jimenez, I'd say, Pastor Jimenez, I love you, brother, but you're wrong on the Trinity. When this fool hasn't even been in church for more than 3 and 4 months,
come on.
And all of a sudden he thinks he has the aptitude to even know the deep doctrines of the Bible?
Come on.
Railing on Pastor Roger Jimenez. And I said this. I said, you're ridiculous.
Amen.
So you're going to pull out one video that Pastor Roger Jimenez came out with and just completely negate every other video that he's made saying that he believes the Trinity like we do.
Amen.
Where he's corrected it. He states what he believes in regards to the Trinity. He holds to the Trinity. But you want to get this one little video that he made. I said, let me ask you this, Eric. If someone mocks Jesus Christ dying for us, is that person saved? No, absolutely not. I said, Tyler Baker mocked Jesus Christ coming and dying for us. That God sent his son to come and die for us. And he mocked that. I said, is he saved? Well, I don't know. I've never seen that video before. I don't know. I can't say. So you're going to strain in a gnat and swallow a camel with Pastor Roger Jimenez? Why don't you scrutinize Tyler Baker the same way? How do you not know about that video? That video is known all across the new IFB. You know why? Because you're not interested in scrutinizing the actual heretics. You're interested in scrutinizing the men of God and nitpicking every little thing that they say when he's already corrected it.
Amen.
And then you want to say I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Go watch the video, idiot.
Amen.
He's mocking Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's mocking the fact that God gave his son.
Yep.
And then... how many have seen that video?
Yep.
Eric, you could talk to any of these people here, they'll tell you the same thing.
Amen.
I don't know about that. Oh, but you know all about Pastor Roger Jimenez. You know all about Manly Perry. You know what that's called? It's called a railer.
Amen.
Go to Luke chapter 8. Here's another verse he picks up here. You say, you sound pretty mad. Yeah, I'm glad you see that.
Amen.
And over the phone, he said this, look, I know you're mad. You sound really upset right now, but I just want to talk to you normally. I'm not going to talk to you normally.
That's right.
I ripped his face off.
Amen.
I ripped into him. Because he's got to own up to it.
Right.
You know, you're so bold behind a camera.
Yep.
You're so bold and want to say, we're arrogant and we're prideful. Stop condemning them. I just annihilated this. Well, let's see you talk now, Eric.
Come on.
Look at Luke 8. This is a verse he used to show that people can fall into heresy, damnable heresy. They on the rock, verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. There you go. Damn. Let's pray and let's go home. And he says, there you go. See, in the time of temptation, they fall away. They fall away into false doctrine, like oneness. They just, you know, you fall away and just start believing that Jesus Christ is not the eternal Son of God. It happens. No, it doesn't happen. The Bible says in Matthew 13:21, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended.
Yep.
So this is not talking about someone who just gets saved and then they just stop believing just because, you know, someone fed them false doctrine.
Right.
This is someone who, because of the way, because of persecution, because of difficulties and trials and tribulations, they get out of church.
Yeah.
They stop reading their Bibles. They stop soul winning. It doesn't say they just no longer believe. When it says that for a while they believe, it means they were saved and all of a sudden they just get out of church. You understand that? This doesn't mean they just stop believing. Nowhere here does it say that. Persecution, tribulation ariseth because of the word, and by, he is offended. Okay? Go with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. Look, folks, I think it's pretty clear.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to convince you of this doctrine, because this is basic.
Right.
What I'm trying to convince you of, and I don't even think I need to convince you of it, is that this guy's worded to get his rear end kicked out of our church.
Amen.
Don't come at me with judge not. Don't come at me with just be a little nicer. I was nice.
Amen.
I prayed before I even called him.
Amen.
I said, God, I don't enjoy doing this. I don't enjoy excommunicating people out of the church. Help me. You know, if this guy's innocent, if he's innocent, if he's just an idiot, you know, help me to see that. Help him to repent, take down the video, and when he comes to church tomorrow, everything could just be fine and dandy, good to go. I said, Lord, but if not, help me to just rip his face off. Because this is what's right to do.
Right.
You know, so don't come at me with, oh, maybe you should have taken care of it. Maybe there's a different way I could have done it. Yeah, I could have screamed louder. That's about it. Look at verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Here's another verse he uses against us, by the way. Verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So he uses this and he says, this is what a lot of people believe. You know, if they go out, you know, they're saying that that's a wicked person. That's a false prophet. Because they were not all of us. No, that's lordship salvation. That's what he states. So now he's going to clarify in verse number 18 what is really being said here. Little children, it is the last time as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come. And he says, see, there you go. This is talking about the Antichrist. It's not talking about just like people who get into damnable heresy. This is talking about end times, the Antichrist. There's a comma. Even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. So yeah, Eric, there's going to be an Antichrist in the end times, but guess what? Even now,
Amen.
There are many Antichrists.
Yep.
And they went out from us. You went out from us, Eric.
Yeah.
Because you were not of us.
Right.
Go to chapter 4. Yeah, but how, we can't really apply that to like the oneness people. I mean, that's harsh. You know, we won't apply it, but the Bible's about to right now.
Amen.
Look at verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You see, that's not what they believe. They claim that Jesus Christ is the Father. And it's the Father who came. That's what they claim. And here it says, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you're not of God. And he took it a step further. You're Antichrist.
Yep.
Just like what we saw in 1 John chapter 2.
Amen.
Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. By the way, if there's any remaining oneness people in here, modalists, I'm not going to beat you up.
Amen.
I'm not going to fist fight you. You know? If you leave quickly. But don't think you can just come and just infiltrate the church. Look, I'm thankful for social media. I'm thankful for YouTube because it helps us. It does a lot of work for us.
Yep.
We see people's true colors on YouTube, don't we?
Yep.
So if that's something you believe, look, if you want to sympathize with them, get out.
Amen.
I want nothing to do with you. I want zero to do with you. If you sympathize with Christ haters, these are people who hate Jesus Christ. Well, I'm just going to wait it out a little bit. Maybe no one will. Okay, that's fine. You know, the Bible says that their folly shall be made manifest.
Amen.
It happened with Eric. Hey, thank God. Are you a little stressed, Brother Mejia? Not really. I'm having a good time. Probably going to go eat a double-double after this and... Mario woke up right there in the back. You know, we're going to have church tonight. It's going to be good. Look at John 10. This is another verse that he used to basically debunk what we believe. He states in verse number 3. He says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Oh, you see? They know his voice. That's what they say, he said. And they're claiming, this is him saying this, that when someone knows his voice, they're not going to get into damnable heresy because they know his voice. He's mocking this, by the way. And he says, but you got to read it. What does it say before? They follow him. Oh, see, that's works right there. They follow him, for they know his voice. That's work salvation. That's lordship salvation. You got to understand something about John chapter 10. He's using sheep, like animals.
Right.
And the way animals and human beings communicate is not verbally.
Right.
Like the sheep can't talk to the shepherd. So the way they communicate that they understand the voice of the shepherd is that they follow him.
Right.
That's the way the shepherd is able to discern if the sheep are not deaf or something, you know?
Understanding.
Yeah, understanding. He calls them and they come to him.
Good.
We're not sheep.
Amen.
And the principle, the doctrine that's being taught here is that we know the voice of God.
Amen.
You know why? Because when the word of God is being spoken, when it's being preached, the message of the Bible, the words of the Holy Spirit resonates with our spirit.
Amen.
It speaks to us. We know that it's the word of God. We know that it comes from the Bible. When we hear about the deity of Jesus Christ, it resonates.
Right.
Why? Because the one who wrote the Bible, the Holy Spirit, lives within us.
Amen.
He resides within us, and the Bible tells us in John 14, John 16, that he's going to lead us into all truths.
Amen.
So he's not going to lead you into damnable heresy like, hey, man, I was telling you about salvation, but that, you're on your own. Oneness, I don't know, man. That you're on your own on that. You can discern if that's true or not. No, he's going to lead you into all truth. When you hear something that's damnable, you may not even know the entire Bible. But you know there's something wrong with that.
Amen.
There's something wrong with that. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. That's why. So it's not like, you know, look, when you hear Christians can stop believing, that's a red flag. Because you know, I may not have memorized the entire Bible, but I know there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Now, that's pretty much it. So Eric Ballesteros is never welcome to come to our church ever again. Okay? Ever again. And look, if you're friends with Eric Ballesteros, let me just talk about this for a minute, okay? If you're friends with him, you know, I'm not the Baptist police, and I don't go around checking to see if people hang out with other people, you know? But I will say this, if you, after the sermon, continue to fellowship with that guy, you're violating 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
That's right. Amen.
Because it says, with no not to eat.
Amen.
And I'm not going to you know, text you and say, you're not doing it, are you? That's on you. That's God's judgment on you.
Right.
I will say this. If I find out that you are, I probably will confront you and say, why are you doing that?
Right.
Why are you hanging out with people who hate what we believe?
Right.
Why are you hanging out with someone who's usurping the authority of the potential pastor of this church? Why are you hanging out with people that hate us? He doesn't hate you. He hates us.
Amen.
He hates me.
Right.
Oh, I heard him say he loves you. People lie. You understand that?
Amen.
His actions are not saying that.
Right.
Why are you hanging out with people that post videos against our church?
Come on.
Against them. That's what I want to ask. Look, I don't know if anybody's hanging out. You know, if that's you, then, you know, yesterday was past, okay? And look, he knew that he was going to get kicked out. He told me, yeah, I already knew I was going to get kicked out. And yet he still went to Hike's reception where all of us were at, including myself.
Come on.
Knowing that he was going to get kicked out. He went, and I don't know how it happened. Maybe it was the Lord or maybe it was just him. As soon as I left, he came. Like, people were telling me, like, almost at the minute.
Yeah. Yep.
As soon as I left, he waltzed right in there.
Yep.
Knowing that he was going to get kicked out of Faith Forward Baptist Church. That is a very wicked person.
Amen.
The gall to do that.
Yep.
So don't misconstrue my words. I think it's very clear. Now, let me talk to the men. All in favor of kicking out Eric Ballesteros out of Faith Forward Baptist Church, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Look, that's the way we're going to do it. That's the way it's going to be done. And it's for the sake of protecting the sheep.
Right.
And protecting the integrity of the local New Testament church that God tells us to do this. I want God's blessing to continue to be on our church.
Amen.
But that does not happen if we tolerate people who defend the enemies of God,
right,
who defend the enemies of our church, and teach false doctrine openly. Hey, then sin, rebuke before all that others may fear.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father,